the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I'm back with you guys. I was out in Vegas last week for the SEMA Auto Show. If you guys have ever been out to that, it's really cool. I'd highly recommend going if you like vehicles. So I was out there, so I took a couple days off for vacation, and we had some guests for you guys last week that I hope you guys enjoyed. And I have a lot of articles for you today, a lot of news going on that I definitely want to dive into. But first, how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great. My voice is a little bit choppy right now. I was going to be on Caravan at midnight tomorrow afternoon, but you're taking my slot on that. Yep. I've told you guys, I've been told everybody I went to that doggone emergency walking clinic Saturday a week ago, and I don't know what the world I got exposed to, but it's something awful, quite frankly. And I've been dealing with this now for, it'll be a week on Wednesday. So quite frankly, I'm just really happy my voice is actually still working, and it's not, I don't have a big mess right now. So I'm pretty good right now. I'm doing pretty good. I'm looking forward to doing the show today. Just try to bear with me with my voice. I know it kind of sounds bad, but it really doesn't hurt. It just sounds bad. By the way, I want to cover something real quick. This is important. This is what happened in New York. A mother has actually lost custody of her son with leukemia for refusing chemotherapy after he was given a clean bill of health. Now get this. He was said he was healthy. He didn't have leukemia anymore. So he was, but they still want to do leukemia on him. And so they took the child away because she refused to do it. Candace Gunderson, who's a holistic wellness coach, is fighting to have her 13-year-old son removed from chemotherapy treatment for acute leukemia after he was given a clean bill of health by his doctors. Gunderson was told when her son was diagnosed that if she refused chemotherapy treatment for him, Child Protective Services would have her having removed, and her son would receive treatment anyway, so she signed the consent forms. Now he's better, but because she signed the consent forms, they took him regardless. The boy had a serious adverse reaction, and she refused further outpatient patients as she planned to pursue alternative care for him, prompting a doctor to call CPS. The boy was seized and will be forced to get treatments for 3 years, the standard for care for chemotherapy for this age. Even the cancer was declared gone. Are you guys listening to this? The kid has been told he has a clean bill of health. He no longer has a cancer, but because she signed the papers, they're going to do it regardless, and they were going to take him away if she didn't sign the papers, and now they're going to force him to do chemotherapy. And here's why they do that. Here's why. Now listen to me. Number one, they believe that if you have cancer or you have chemotherapy and you get cured by a natural protocol, that that's not real. Yep. They're saying the tests aren't real, that that's not real, that you still have cancer, and therefore you need to go and continue the program that you were put on by your doctor. And because the young man's a minor, basically they took custody away from him. I mean, this is what they do. I had this happen to another friend of mine. His name was also Ted. They were going to take his daughter away from him, unless she had the chemotherapy and radiation and all kinds of other stuff. And he went ahead and had to do it. He had to do the chemotherapy and the radiation. And by the grace of God, she did not die from the cancer. She did not die from the chemotherapy or the radiation. But guys, this is medical tyranny. When a parent does not have the right to pursue proper treatment. But the most ironic thing here, Austin, this child was given a clean bill of health by his own doctors, and this is what happened to him. Unbelievable. What a mess. Yep. What do you think, bud?
This is what happens when you allow government to come in and start mandating things that they can do to you, start forcing things. A lot of this stems back to the entire Obamacare mandate in 2010. All this stuff has been progressing. It may not all be completely related to one another and locked into one another, but all of this is going across the board. You guys know tomorrow's election day. Make sure everybody goes out and votes. Everybody's heard that enough, so I'm not going to keep pushing that. But interestingly enough, over the weekend, once I got back, I was looking at all the amendments on the Florida ballot. And I'm pretty much voting no to, like, everything. And a lot of these ones that some of the GOP is recommending, I completely and totally disagree with. The reason why is because a lot of these amendments, when you actually go in and read the bill, it does nothing to help the Floridian or even the American citizen or anything like that. It all is another way, essentially, for these people that are up in Congress, that are in the Senate, that are at larger levels of government, to have either more control or more financial control over you. Either way, either basic control or financial control, and or both. That's what all this stuff almost comes down to every single time. It was funny because there's an amendment on there talking about the property tax, and they're going to supposedly change the property tax structure a little bit, give a little bit more of a discount to houses that have higher property taxes. And I started reading through it, and the whole thing is so convoluted, the way that they put it together, I couldn't even understand it at first until I started going through and breaking down and reading all of it paragraph by paragraph. And then finally, as this bill is being basically sold as a giant tax break for the Florida population, at the end of it, when you finally get done reading it, you realize it does really nothing to support any heavy tax breaks. All it does is give the bureaucrats in Tallahassee more control and the ability to tax us even more in the future on property taxes. Absolutely ridiculous. Another one was the Amendment 6, which goes on and basically says, the title of it is to give victims rights. Victims have rights. And you read that and you go, okay, yeah, victims has rights. But what nobody's addressing is the giant elephant in the room with that amendment is the fact that almost all of the rights that it so-called adds to the victims of sexual assault and sexual harassment are already on the books. They just reword them differently, but they essentially do the exact same thing. But what it doesn't talk about as far as in the amendment, you know, paragraph at the top, it's buried down in the middle, is essentially what it's designed to do. This is a giant feminist liberal amendment. It essentially goes in and allows anybody that says they've been sexually assaulted, like a girl that wants to make false allegations against a guy, it basically gives her the full right to make allegations, to be present in court, to have nobody question her whatsoever, no matter if she has proof or anything, and the man actually has to, or whoever the accuser is, I should say, the accusee, has to sit there and defend himself and prove that he did not do this, even though there is no evidence against him. He has to have evidence to prove he didn't do it. Essentially the same thing we saw with the Kavanaugh hearing. This is what they've coupled with this, and then at the end of the bill, they add in that every judge won't retire at 70, they retire at 75. Whatever they added those two in there before is ridiculous. But guys, when you see this stuff, do some research on your ballot. Figure out what all these idiotic amendments are that they're adding on there. And in most cases, they're not for the taxpayer or the American citizen. I was telling Lana last night, I said, with this whole convoluted amendment with the property tax, I said, they're trying to say it's a, you know, it basically cuts down on taxes. Okay, cool. I got that. How about this? How about we do an amendment? Property taxes drop 50% from 2018 to 2020 in the state of Florida. Period. Oh, okay. I can live with that. That's pretty easy to do. That's pretty straightforward and simple. Leave it at that. 2020, have something else go on the ballot. But this whole shadowy behind the mirrors, cloak and dagger, smoke and mirrors garbage that these guys are continuing to do and try to settle to us is law, is completely and totally unconstitutional to me. And us as the population, the voters, we have to see through the BS, excuse the vernacular, and understand that this stuff is not for the people. It is for the bureaucrats and for the globalists. So don't vote for it at all. That's just one thing. Like I saw in New York now, they're proposing a law. Two New York lawmakers are drafting a bill that will propose a social media check before a gun purchase. You guys already know they have the background checks, the wait periods, all that crap in New York already. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams and State Senator Kevin Palmer proposal would allow authorities to review 3 years of social media history and 1 year of every internet search history of any person seeking to purchase a firearm. That's right, not just social media, but every single thing you've ever looked up online for the last year. They said a 3-year review of social media profile would give an easy profile of a person who is not suitable to hold and possess a firearm. Suitable, you say? Suitable. So now we're going to base the ability for somebody to legally exercise their Second Amendment right based on what they've said on Facebook for the last 3 years and based on their private search history that they have used in the privacy of their own home for the last year. Does anybody else see a problem with that, Dad? Especially when they're saying here now that they're hoping to identify any hate speech on social media profiles. They said the thing about hate speech, the thing that I say about it, is that it's completely subjective. There is no hate speech. There is no, it's like the word assault weapon. There is no assault weapon that's an AR-15. The word doesn't, it can't be described as that. Any weapon can be described as an adjective, as an assault weapon, a baseball bat, an assault chain, an assault bat. Saying an assault weapon for an inanimate object that's not even loaded or functional or laying on a table is idiotic. But this is what these guys are doing now, and you have to understand and see through it. But the fact that they're actually pushing for this now goes to show me that they are not going to stop at anything as far as they have to remove these firearms from the general population, Dad. No doubt about it, we are definitely been in a fight for the Second Amendment for probably about 2 decades now.
All right, here's the thing. Number one, you know, nobody should have the invasion of their privacy of having their basically Google searches or their searches basically being put up for public view. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. That's number one. Number two, if a person knows that they're going to have all of their search history brought into a public domain, and let's say they did something they shouldn't have done. Okay, some guy actually looked up a picture he shouldn't have looked up or whatever. And all of a sudden he goes, well, I don't want my wife to know that. I don't have the search history to pull up. I'm not going to apply for this gun. I'm not going to get this permit. Yep. It goes right back to that social credit score crap that we've talked about so many times in China. It goes right back to these guys, Austin, wanting to control everything you think, everything you do, and to shame you, if they think that they can find something to say, oh, did you really go look up the world's prettiest NFL cheerleaders while your wife's standing there? Did you really do this? Did you really say that you did something like this? Why would you do this? Do you have a problem looking at this? And that this is what it's about. These bunch of sick weirdos want to control every single thing we do. And guys, once they get AI interactive with us, once they get the D-Wave computer interactive with us, once they find a way to monitor every single thing you do, like they're doing in China now, they're going to have a credit score system from hell. It literally, I'm telling you guys, it's going to be from hell. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do and say what you're supposed to say and act how you're supposed to act, it's going to go bad for you immediately. When you go to the bank to try to loan money, when you try to go buy a car, when you try to go buy a gun, when you try to go get a house mortgage, we can't give you this because your credit score is not high enough. Your social media score says that you listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer show. My gosh. Hey, listen to Ted and Austin Brewer. Or you listen to Hagman. Or you listen to Dave Hodges. Or you listen to Steve Quayle. Or you did all of these horrible things on an ongoing basis. Guys, when do they have the right to determine whether you can buy a gun or not? By going to your Google searches or your other searches that you have. I mean, who gave them that right? Who said that was okay? And guys, this is the problem that we're getting into now with this nanny state that we have, because everybody wants to think, my gosh, we have to make sure we do everything right. Look at Florida State. They made the news again this week, and they had a big shooting in Tallahassee. Mainstream media has been completely quiet about it here in Central Florida. Why? Because Gillum is running a state, this town called Tallahassee, which is one of the most crime-ridden cities in the country right now, with multiple shootings all the time, and nobody wants to talk about it. So now Bill Nelson comes out and says, we'll never stop these shootings unless all assault weapons are basically seized. It's all about, this is the Communist Manifesto, guys. Now, let's talk about the Protocols of the Elders of Zion for a second. Very rarely ever talk about that. I don't know who wrote it. There are a lot of people think certain groups wrote it. Other people say they don't know who wrote it. It doesn't make a difference. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion are basically, it's something that was written which lays out a plan for the globalists and the communists, and they're doing every single thing in that protocol. And one of the things they've got to do, they've got to seize the guns, and they've got to make sure that you don't have any rights, and they can do whatever they want to do you whenever they want to do this. It's ridiculous. Here it is. Leftist student at Florida State University arrested for allegedly throwing milk on a Republican volunteer. It never ends. Assault the Republicans. Sally Shoup, 19, a student at Florida State University who describes herself as a volunteer for the communist Florida Democrat gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum, was arrested after she was filmed using Republican volunteers, accusing Republican volunteers at a table of enabling Nazis. I'm so I'm so damn sick of this Nazi stuff, guys. The Nazis are dead. I'm sorry to use that kind of language on the show. They've been dead for 70 years. They're gone, dying for 70 years. They got to drag this mess all the time. And she said that she allegedly threw milk at one of them. Authorities took Shoup to the Leon County Jail, which I'm glad they did, where she was charged with battery. I'm glad she was. She spent the night in jail and was released the next day. This has to stop. This name-calling has to stop. All of this stuff has to stop. Here's another one right here. There's another one. Jewish law professors accuses the ADL of fudging statistics to make anti-Semitism appear more prevalent than it really is, which is what they do all the time. Jonathan Greenblatt of the Jewish Anti-Defamation League said that the anti-Semitism, including wild and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories about Jewish financiers like George Soros manipulating world events, must be censored and stopped. He said there's been a 57% increase in harassment, vandalism, and violence in 2017. In response, listen to this, Professor David Bernstein, another Jewish fellow, at the George Mason University School of Law, wrote that the ADL's study is false. It is a blatant lie. He states numerous flaws in the study, including the fact that it included 193 incidents of bomb threats to Jewish institutions that were not motivated by anti-Semitism at all, but just the opposite. They were discovered to have been committed by an 18-year-old Jewish boy who apparently was bent on creating sympathy for the Jewish community. And guys, this is what they do with the Democrats. This is what the ADL does. This is what all of these groups, these special interest groups, do. George Soros has blatantly funded millions and millions and millions of dollars of this junk. He's done everything he possibly can to promote this junk as far as leftism, communism in the United States. And to not call him out and say it's anti-Semitic to say anything about George Soros, no, or you're being a Nazi or a racist. Now they're saying that back to Alex Jones is a Nazi and he's a racist. Donald Trump's a Nazi and he's a racist. Donald Trump is anti-Semitic. Alex Jones is anti-Semitic. Guys, if the only thing they can do is hurl insults at you when you tell them the truth. It's like I had a friend of mine today and we were talking about anti-Semitism. I said, I'm not an anti-Semite. I said, I'm an anti-Zionist. I don't believe in Zionism at all. You guys know that. You've heard my show for years. Does that make me an anti-Semite? No. I've got a lot of my friends are Jewish. A lot of my friends are white. A lot of my friends are black. A lot of my friends are Hispanic. I don't care about all that. All I know is this, is that you can't allow a specific special interest group to come in and designate who and how what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, with them threatening you that they're going to say bad things about you if you don't do exactly what they tell you to do. I can't stand this kind of stuff, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Oh, I'm the same way. I mean, because the thing about this is right now, they're completely and totally trying to undermine the Constitution, and they're doing it by chips and erosions. You know, they can't get this stuff done all in one fell swoop, so they start doing stupid stuff like, let's propose you have your Google search history and 3 years of your, social media. Think about that. Say you're 21 years old, right? You're 21. You want to go buy a handgun legally. You go to the store, and all of a sudden they come back and say, well, we got to do a background check on you. And we saw when you were 18, you posted a photo in college basically at Halloween, and you were dressed up like a Nazi. And so you're basically a Nazi, and this is hate speech when you were 18 at a Halloween party in college. So we're not going to allow you the privilege of owning a firearm anymore because we deem your behavior to be hate speech. That's how far this is going to go, guys. That is literally how far it's going to start going down the line till they'll start denying anybody for any reason whatsoever. Perfect example of what they're doing now on the flip side. You guys already know in the state of Florida we have the risk protection order that our blithering idiot Governor Rick Scott signed, which I cannot believe he's the only option right now that we have to vote for Senate. But nonetheless, the risk protection order set up a cascading series of events whole country-wide now. U.S.-wide, we've seen these risk protection order acts implemented right after the Parkland shooting. I think there's roughly 11 or 12 states now that have implemented this risk protection order, basically verbatim of what Florida has used. I told you guys already about a month and a half ago, there was an article that came out that's already shown in the state of Florida. Over 500 of these risk protection orders have already been issued in the state of Florida. Some of them being legitimate, some people being certified crazy and have their firearms taken. Other ones, not so much. This is out of Maryland, which Maryland also has the red flag protection order that Florida has as well that was just implemented October 1st. It's only a month old. This in this story right now, you got to listen to this. This is going to wake you up. This right here from my research that I found is technically the first civilian casualty of the giant firearm grab known as the Red Flag Protection Order that I warned everybody about back in March when they started to talk about this crap all over the media. I told you this was going to escalate to this. Two Anne Arundel County police officers serving one of Maryland's new Red Flag Protection Orders to remove guns from a house killed the Ferndale man after he refused to give up his firearms early Monday morning. The subject of the protective order, Gary J. Willis, 60 years old, answered his door with a gun in his hand with the Anne Arundel County police outside. He initially put the gun down next to the door, but then came irate when police officers served him with the order. The officers then began to draw their weapons and to make entry into the house when Willis picked up his firearm again. A fight ensued over the gun. One of the officers struggled to take the gun away from Willis inside of his house, and during the struggle, the gun fired but did not strike anyone, the police said. At that point, the other officer fatally shot Willis while he was on the ground fighting with the other officer, police said. Neither officers were injured. A spokesman for the Maryland judiciary denied a full request to see any and all requests for protection orders made at that residence. Police had come to the house the week before to speak to Willis. His niece, who had been interviewed today, said she attributed that visit last week to family being family and essentially multiple arguments about politics. She said one of her aunts that was over that night went and requested a protective order to temporarily move Willis's guns because she thought he was basically being unruly in the family arguments they had in the house. She said her uncle liked to speak his mind, but she describes him as totally harmless. She said, I am dumbfounded right now. My uncle wouldn't hurt anybody. She said the officer should have continued to negotiate with her uncle. She didn't think they needed to do what they did. The Red Flag Protective Order, officially known as Emergency Risk Protection Orders, and may be sought by family members, police officers, or anyone to temporarily prohibit people's access to firearms when they show any red flag that they are a danger to themselves or others. The law went into effect October 1st. Anne Arundel County saw 19 petitions already in October, and Maryland as a state has already had 114 petitions since October 1st. Guys, that is last 36 days they've had 114 petitions. That means they're pushing on average 3 to 4 petitions every single day in the state of Maryland to take somebody's firearms away. And they went to this guy's house. He basically said, no, you're not going to take my firearms. He already had his firearm with him. They basically entered his house, drew their firearms. He grabbed his firearm, and he ended up getting killed over this, all because his aunt, or this girl's aunt, or niece, or whoever it was, got mad at him about an argument, turned him in for a risk protection order, and the police went and tried to seize his firearms. This is not going to get better. I warned about this when I saw it happen down here in Florida. I've warned about it for months now. This is going to start occurring because you're going to start having these good old boys that have been armed since they were 4, 5, 6 years old in their 50s and 60s, just like this guy, and the law enforcement's going to show up and say, hey, your sister-in-law is mad at you because you're voting for Trump, so she basically got a risk protection order against you. We're here to seize all your firearms. And you're going to go, no, you're not taking my firearms. And then this happens right here. The one aspect that I saw about this that is so troubling, not only about this man dying, is that they're using this loophole now to seize these firearms as another reason to gain monetary funds to basically fund their police departments. Once these guns are basically put into the system and they're seized, after a year of being in the system and the risk protection order being made permanent, like as I've explained it to you before, once it goes in, you have 30 days to appeal it. Once it's been appealed, you either they give you your guns back or they don't give them back. After that, you basically have it in that it's active for a year, and at that point in time, they can make it perpetual. They can make it forever if you hack them off enough. You got to think about something. some of these guys have 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 guns, some of them antique guns, some of them worth a lot of money. Once the police departments start amassing an arsenal, and I mean an arsenal larger than their own department has, when they start taking 5, 10, 15 guns from every person, 100, I mean, this, they're averaging 100 a month now, you figure even 5 guns each protection order, that's 500 guns they've already taken. In 1 year, that's going to be 6,000 firearms that they'll be able to auction, sell, or do whatever they want. If they don't want to sell them, they could use them straw purchases to the ATF and run them down to the Mexico, wherever they want to. I'm totally speculating here, but think about where this is starting to go. I mean, we're dealing with a totalitarian police system now that can say you basically are not allowed to have a firearm. We're coming to take your firearm. There's nothing you can do about it, so we're basically going to take it. At 6,000 firearms a year, and just in the state of Maryland, that they would be seizing on average right now, average firearm being sold for $500 a piece, that is $3 million a year in additional revenue these police departments will start incurring in just a state the size of Maryland from these risk protection orders. And on top of that, you're disarming the entire population. You give this another 4 or 5 years at the rate it's going, 60 to 70% of the entire state populations that have these risk protection orders are going to be fully disarmed. And people are going to wake up one morning and say, what the heck happened to us? We can't even defend ourselves anymore because the state, the all-powerful state here to protect us for our safety, has disarmed us now. This is crazy, but the first casualty now, civilian casualty of the risk protection order has now been started in Maryland, Dan.
You know, the sad part to me is, Austin, all these police officers carry tasers, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? If the guy's wrestling with a police officer, you know, if he had a clear enough shot to shoot the guy with a gun, he could have shot him with a taser. And it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, it's just people don't want to give up their Second Amendment rights. And people like Rick Scott and these other governors that are signing these orders, the people in the states are not voting for these things. We didn't vote for this. They did. Our state government did this to us. It's one of their little mandates and one of their little statutes again. And, you know, it's like we talked about before. If you lived in a neighborhood for 25 years and somebody puts up a stop sign on a road that doesn't need a stop sign, you didn't vote on it. People in the neighborhood didn't vote. The statute, they limit to whatever they did. Somebody down in the city hall, one of the city commissioners said, oh, we need to put a stop sign here. And nobody has a chance. So then if you don't listen to them and you go through the stop sign, you get a ticket. You got to pay a fine. If you don't pay the fine, you got to go to court. You don't go to court, they issue a doggone arrest warrant for you. Then if they stop you, they take you back to court. You don't pay the ticket and pay the arrest warrant fees. They lock you up. Now you go to prison and jail because you went through a stop sign you never voted for. See, this is what they do all the time. And it just aggravates me, Austin, because this is the beginnings of just the disarmament, like you said, of the United States. Now, I don't know if it's going to be 50 or 60 or 70%, but the reality is this. Anybody can claim anything about anyone at any time. This reminds me of family services. So if you've got a child and you're a great parent, but someone doesn't like you and they drop a dime on you and say that you're not a good parent and that you spanked your child, and all of a sudden family services show up to drag your kid away, you either now have to get an attorney, file a lawsuit to get your kid back. And for what? You didn't do anything. See, this is the same thing. I could say, Jeff down the road, he's got 3 or 4 guns. And I saw him out there one day, and he was waving his gun at his wife. And he was mad, threatening to shoot her. You need to go down and take his guns away. And I can make every bit of it up. I can make all of it up. And then so all of a sudden now law enforcement, just like the Family Protective Services, they're required by law because of what the blithering idiot Rick Scott did, that we have to vote for senator because we want to get rid of the blithering idiot Bill Nelson. We have to basically go, we have to prove now that we didn't go out there and do this to our wife. I've got a friend of mine, his name is Chris, and I remember years ago, Chris is a really successful business guy, and he had a guy accuse him of doing something that wasn't true. And he went up to the guy and he said, well, you know I didn't do this. He goes, yeah, I know you didn't do it. He goes, well, you know, everybody knows. So Chris looks at the other guy and says, well, everybody knows that you're a child pedophile. You like little boys. And the guy goes, you know, that's not true. He goes, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to take a dog. I'm going to start telling all my friends that you're a pedophile. You like little boys. I'm going to call the police on you for being a pedophile. And he goes, you can't do that. He goes, well, why are you doing that to me? See, you can't start rumoring people and lying about people and saying things about people and think it's okay. Just the other day, I had a friend of mine that I've known for years, who kind of a pseudo friend at this point, and he called me up and we both know somebody's a national radio show broadcaster. And he started bad-mouthing this guy and lying about this guy. And I had just gotten off the phone with this radio show broadcaster, I mean like 20 minutes earlier, and I told this guy, this producer, this, you know, agent, I said, dude, you're lying. This isn't true. Well, how do you know that? I said, well, I just got off the phone with this guy 20 minutes ago. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. I said, this isn't okay, man. You can't do this. This guy's a friend of mine. You're not going to badmouth him to me. So I got off the phone and called my buddy up, the doggone radio show personality guy, and he was livid. He was going to sue this guy over tortious interference for badmouthing him in the doggone community, you know, in the radio community. And I said, no, he won't do it again. But see, I've learned something, guys. When you have people out there that have a runny mouth and they can't keep their mouth shut and they're badmouthing somebody to you, there's a really high probability they're going to badmouth you to somebody else. I've seen it over and over and over again because they have, in German it's called Verstand and Vernunftig. They have no reasoning skills. They think they can just run their mouth and say whatever they want to say about anybody and badmouth them, and there's not going to be any blowback to it. Guys, let me give you some advice. If you have a friend like this who can't keep their mouth shut, who's always bad-mouthing or gossiping about somebody else, just pull the pins, because I give you my word, sooner or later, they're going to do the exact same thing to you. It's going to come back to you. You're going to have to go raise H.E. double sticks with them just to get them to shut up and threaten them with a lawsuit, or it doesn't go away. I see it over and over and over again, Austin, because anybody can say anything. Joe down there needs some help. He's got some guns. He's Looney Tunes. He's got to have his guns taken away. And look, here's the problem with all of this. In some cases, the people with the guns, they really are nuts.
Yeah.
They really are nuts. I mean, they really shouldn't have a gun. I mean, they're Looney Tunes. I mean, they're like really messed up in the head. Okay, we got that. But then the problem arises, all the people are going to be accused who aren't nuts about the same problem. There's got to be a different way of doing this. It's the same thing with the Child Protective Services, Austin. You may find a couple of bad guys in the middle of all this stuff, but how many good people do you have to throw in jail or ruin their reputations to try to find one or two bad guys? See, this is why we have to have proper due process, and we have to have the right to say, no, that's not okay. And if we don't have that right and able to defend ourselves in court, and we get ourselves caught up in some kind of plea bargain, then we end up taking whatever they're going to give us, regardless of the consequences to ourselves or to our families. Guys, this is a broken system. It's a broken system because of statutes and rules and all of these laws that these bureaucrats are allowed to put on the books without our approval. And guys, we need to change this. Congress shouldn't have the ability to change and put laws on the books without our express permission, especially when it comes to stuff that you can be arrested and taken to jail because you have a gun. I mean, it's completely nonsense. Or in this case, die. He died.
Yeah.
He's dead. I mean, what the heck's that all that about? I mean, how many people you got to kill? All right, here's another article from G. Edward Griffin. New York synagogue vandal. We all heard about this last week. He is basically putting hateful messages. He's been identified. He's not a white supremacist like he said in his messages. He's a black leftist. Days after the synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, a synagogue in Brooklyn was a site of vandalism with messages written with a black marker that read, well, I'm not going to read it. It means to say the media blamed this on a white supremacist. However, the surveillance video shows a young black man scrawling the messages, and he has been identified as James Polite, that's a nice name for him, Polite, 26, who, according to his own leftist political activities, may be a former Obama volunteer. A local TV station reported that Polite could be behind a series of fires and other things in the Jewish area this year to try to promote anti-Semitism by white supremacists. I mean, guys, all of this stuff is just absolutely nuts when you start looking at what's happening and how they're trying to control us. All of this is, and we mentioned it last week, is to try to get the Jewish vote out in mass, the vote almost entirely, like 90% of the time, Democrats. George Soros, by the way, has pledged $500 million to assist migrants and is partnering with MasterCard. There you go. Can you believe this? What's he going to give everybody a MasterCard? I guess so. To deliver the money. Despite Soros repeatedly denying he is funding the caravan of migrants from Honduras to the border, remember he's a Rothschild cutout, he is now teaming up with MasterCard to hand out money to migrants, calling it investment capital. This is part of a $500 million pledge. That's $500 million, guys, that effectively will support migrants seeking to enter the U.S. and Europe. In 2016, MasterCard admitted handing out, listen to this, prepaid debit cards to migrants traveling through Europe with the blessings of the European Union and the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. Guys, the Rothschilds are doing all of this. The Rothschilds want the world government. Guys, it's crazy to me that this isn't as blatant in everybody's face as they continue to do. It's just absolutely nuts that they're saying they deny this. By the way, Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch was banned from Fox News for saying the Soros-occupied State Department is funding the caravan, which is a true statement. Last week, Fox News banned Chris Farrell, who is the director of investigations and research for Judicial Watch, after he claimed on the Lou Dobbs show that the Soros-occupied State Department was funding the large caravan of migrants at the U.S. border. Apparently, this statement of simple truth was viewed by the Fox's news audience as anti-Semitic. Guys, this is again from Edward Griffin. Here's the craziest part about all of this stuff. Guys, it's about the communists. Well, you guys have heard me on this show so many times. It's about the communist takeover of the United States of America. Ronald Reagan got it right. Senator Joe McCarthy got it right. They want to destroy our country and take it to the same hellhole that the USSR was. And then they want to destroy all of that and go into a world government with a money system that is basically digital without real currency to make us and force us to take the mark of the beast. The Bible is telling you what they're going to do. The Bible's laying out what they're going to do. And here we have an article that I just read you proving that Soros is working with MasterCard and basically is funding the caravan. Chris Farrell says it from Judicial Watch and is banned from Fox News because he spoke the truth. Guys, I can't stand stuff like this. What do you think, Austin?
Well, it just goes to show you, and I've said this repeatedly for years, that Fox News, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, you know, it's the conservative one. And yeah, they throw some stuff in there to make everybody think there's this nice paradigm. But in all, it's all mainstream media. It's all bought and paid for by the globalist. And that's why you notice they don't have articles about vaccinations on Fox News. There was one interview that I saw this year, I think at some point in time, with Kennedy, and he went on there and they gave him like a 2-minute slot. He basically babbled for about a minute and a half. Didn't make a whole lot of sense because he didn't have enough time to explain a lot of stuff. Then they basically cut him off and that was the end of the show. And they didn't even, there was no significant discussion on anything whatsoever. And that's because that's the pharmaceutical industrial complex completely and totally controls the media and advertisement. They don't want this stuff coming up. So that's why it's so important that you actually do your research, find the news and alternative news that shows you the truth of what's really going on. That's why Dad and I try to do so much alternative media and topics that a lot of people aren't talking about, because that's the stuff that they don't want you to know, is the stuff they won't talk about. Other news, and I'm bringing this article up just to show you how idiotic the left has become. As you know, we see the millennials and the Generation X babies pretty much be one of the most pampered generations in history. I mean, just absolute giant babies about everything, and demand everything's free. They demand, they want free housing, free education, free Medicare, free health care, free everything. They don't know who's going to pay for it, but it's supposed to be free. And then articles like this come out from CNN. The American Academy of Pediatrics has now hardened its stance against spanking children as a form of discipline. In a new policy statement published in the Journal of Pediatrics on Monday, the pediatricians group recommends that adults caring for children use healthy forms of discipline, such as positive reinforcement for appropriate behaviors and setting limits, and not use spanking. They said parents be encouraged and assisted in developing methods other than spanking in response to undesired behavior. And then this is the part that is so interesting to me. Is they talk about, you know, you're supposed to, you know, positive reinforcement for this, which I agree with for the most part, but at some point in time, you have to have a negative sanction to a very negative behavior. And so what they do in here now is they couple spanking with a whole host of other things that I don't approve of at all. So they say, parents should never hit their child, and they should never use verbal insults that humiliate and shame the children publicly. So now, do you see what they've done in the same sentence? They've coupled spanking your child to now downgraded it to hitting your child and verbally insulting your child and humiliating and shaming your child in public. That's how quick they changed the narrative in their article from simply, we don't think you should spank, to now spanking is hitting your child in the same category as verbal insult, humiliating, and shaming your child. This is what the fake news CNN is incredibly good at doing, is twisting and distorting any type of topic to fit their narrative, now saying that spanking is essentially bad. At the time now, we have a generation that literally can't even have a normal discussion with another human being without falling on the floor, kicking and screaming and pitching a giant temper tantrum. Why? Because every time they did something they weren't supposed to do, their parents counted till 10, and then when they got to 10, they let them do it anyways. This is what happens when children aren't disciplined, and I do not support at all hitting your child. I don't support, you know, beating your child. Anything. That's not okay at all. But some point in time, you have to have some type of discipline that can show the child that certain behavior is not acceptable whatsoever. And that's just something that people have to realize. But again, the media is doing everything they can to try to couple this with a basically child abusers is what they're trying to couple it with. Also, too, in other news, Ohio's Daniel Best, who's a pharmaceutical executive from Bay Village, if you guys remember, he was appointed in March to lead the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services initiatives to significantly lower prescription drug prices. He has now died of causes that they have not released yet now. He was 49-year-old former CVS Health and Pfizer pharmaceutical executive. He agreed to work with HHS in March, and he said, and I quote, out of a desire to serve the American people by making health care and pharmaceutical drugs more affordable. In September, before the pharmacy industry group, Best discussed how lowering cost, making it easier for generics and bio drugs to enter the market, and also removing drug rebate programs that drive up prices and bringing more manufacturing to the United States. His death comes only a week after President Donald Trump announced a new drug pricing initiative that would allow Medicare to determine prices it pays for some drugs based on the cheaper prices charged for drugs in other countries. Trump said drugs in the United States frequently cost many times more than they do abroad. At long last, the drug companies in foreign countries will be held accountable for how they rig the system against the American consumers. This guy now has basically died right before he got involved with doing this stuff. And at the same time, we now have the FDA, who has been working and funded neck and neck with the Department of Defense on a new opioid drug, which is now listed as 1,000 times stronger than morphine. Kid you not. The agency cited with the Anesthesic and Analgesic Advisory Panel, which voted 10-3 to approve Dysuvia, a sublingual tablet formed of suphenol, against the recommendation of the chairman. It's 5 to 10 times stronger than fentanyl, and it's 500 to 1,000 times more stronger than morphine, and supposedly will be administered to treat acute pain in medically supervised settings. The Department of Defense had a hand in funding the research that produced Dysuvia, which could replace morphine on the battlefield due to its ease of administration. ASOLRX projects at least $1.1 billion in annual sales by next year and hopes to have its product in hospital shelves as early as 2019. With 200 million prescriptions written for opiates every year in the United States, many argue Americans don't need more opiates. Over 72,000 Americans died of drug overdoses last year, a new record, and among the drugs causing the overdose, the largest increase was in fentanyl and fentanyl-like synthetics, which are most of the time, from what I have pretty much found, are not being sold or distributed by U.S. pharmacies. They're being brought in through the black market, as we've already seen in from Mexico. There's an article I talked about 2 months ago where an individual was basically caught when they raided a drug house down there right near the border, had, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was around 5,000 pounds of fentanyl in their possession in this house, which is literally enough to kill a good, like, I think like 20, 30, 40 million people, that much, how much fentanyl it is. And it was not pharmaceutical fentanyl. It was basically synthetic lab-made fentanyl that was not registered by an FDA or any packaging. And that is what we have seen pretty much coming out of Afghanistan now. Now, the whole aspect of this that's so silly is morphine in most cases is incredibly effective at pain relief. And morphine is completely natural derivative. Most people don't realize that from its original base. It's been around literally for 200 years. It was synthesized in 1805 by Frederick Seinberger. It is generally believed to be the first isolation of an active ingredient from a plant. Merck began marketing morphine commercially in 1827. Seinberger originally named the substance morphium after the Greek god of dreams, Morpheus, as it had a tendency to cause sleep. The primary source of morphine is isolation from poppy straw of the opium poppy. So we have a drug that's been around for 200 years. We pretty much know the side effects. We know the positive and negatives of it. We know the withdrawals. We know the dependency issues. But that's not good enough because the pharmaceutical companies can't make any money off morphine because everybody makes morphine. So now they have to couple with the Department of Defense to produce a sublingual opiate that's 10 times stronger than fentanyl. And, of course, the FDA runs it right through and approves it like nothing is going on in the United States. And we don't have, I think, what, 4.5 million active heroin addicts in the United States now? That's not going on. Don't look at that. Let's just start producing more opiates that are even stronger than before, Dad.
That's right.
Absolutely ridiculous.
You know, Austin, fentanyl is already so strong that it's dangerous. I mean, you got a little bit on it, topically, it'll kill you. Morphine is very addictive. Fentanyl is going to be ridiculous. I don't even know what the proper usage of fentanyl is unless you're a cancer patient dying and you're about to check out. And now they want to make something 10 times stronger than that. The only reason they're doing all of this, is to decrease the surplus population. That's it. It's to cull the herd. It's to get rid of the useless eaters, as Henry Kissinger likes to call us. I mean, there's no other reason that they would come out with drugs this strong. You know, look at my brother-in-law, my wife, you know, your uncle, Todd. He died, what, 3-4 years ago now of a heroin overdose over in Orlando. We reported it when it happened years ago when we were on the show. I mean, and they told me on Colonial Highway, the investigator said, this is called Heroin Highway because of the overdoses here. Because so many people die here because they don't understand that the opium now is so prevalent in Afghanistan that they don't have to cut the heroin anymore because of the 10,000 metric tons that are being produced now in 2018, 2019, if not more. So they basically are giving this stuff away for next to nothing, I guess. And because of all that, you know, we have all of these people now that are having all of these overdoses. Like you said, nothing to look at. There's almost 5 million people that are addicts in the United States right now. Nothing to look at. Move on. Nothing to see here. You know, we were at the doggone Biltmore State a few months ago. I love the Biltmore State. We have annual passes there. I told you, I talked to one of the drivers in one of the buses, and he told me they couldn't even get help because people couldn't pass the drug tests. Because there's so many addicts. I mean, it's a mess. So they're doing everything they can to destroy healthy people and to reduce the population. Perfect. Another example. A jury awards $105 million in a suit against the PH Miracle author. This is crazy. A San Diego jury decided against the author of the best-selling PH Miracle book this week, ordering him to pay $105 million to a cancer patient who said the book held himself out as a doctor and counseled her to forego traditional medical treatment. The large award, more than double what the woman had sought, she wanted $50 million, they gave her $100 million, comes roughly 16 months after a criminal case ended with the author, Robert Young, going to jail for a few months for practicing medicine without a license. Young, who called the judgment a fraud, has written several books, including The PH Miracle Diet. Now, let me stop here for a second. People are always asking me about books. I haven't read this book. Now, do I believe that changing your diet and changing your pH is going to get rid of cancer? It's not going to hurt. But is it going to cure the cancer? I would never make that claim, number one. Wouldn't do it. Now, some people may have made that claim. They may have recovered from the cancer. I don't know. But I don't make that claim. This guy apparently made that claim. That's why we're so careful in this show not to make claims. So we always say, you know, listen to your medical doctor. Go with what your oncologist says, blah, 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 because of this guy right here. Now, I can say to you this, and I'm very sincere about this. This guy hasn't made $105 million on his books. I mean, you don't make much money on books. If he sold a million copies, let's say he sold a million copies, and they're paying him $2 a book, which is a big commission for that, he'd make $2 million. After taxes, he'd make a little over $1 million. That's all he made. How's he going to pay $105 million off? And let me tell you something else about publishers, in case this is why I'm on this little tear right now, because I've been through a bunch of them. They don't just – let's say they say they're going to pay you 10% of the value of the book or whatever. And say so you have a $20 book, so you're going to get $2. Or if they say if they wholesale it to another distributor, you get 10% of the wholesale value. All right? So here's what these clowns do to people. I've seen it over and over again, guys. I've had it done to me. So you have a $20 book. You're supposed to get a $2 commission. They don't sell any of them through the normal distribution change. They sell them all wholesale. And so now instead of getting 10% on $20, you get 10% on $2. So now you get 20 cents a book. Guys, I had it happen to me personally, okay? And so now so you sell a million books. You don't get $2 million. You get like $200,000. And then you get half of that goes to IRS. So you think, well, who made all the money? The publisher did. The publisher made all the money. The distributors made all the money. But the author gets hosed. So this guy, there's no way on God's green earth, and I can guarantee you, as sure as I know God makes little green apples, that this guy made $105 million, which is what they've done now to this guy. He may have had some good stuff on those books. He is essentially bankrupt. And not only is he bankrupt, he has been ruined in the publishing industry, and he will never be a published author again. They won't do it because they don't want to take the risk of it, because they don't want to deal with liability exposure from him. So now, not only did they get this pH diet off the market, which there's nothing wrong with balancing your pH. We learned a long time ago. I remember Terry Reams taught us back in the 70s, and back in the 80s. If your pH, your urine and saliva pH, you guys need to write this down. This is really important. I don't cover this very often. This is one of these little facts. Your urine pH 2 hours after eating and your saliva pH 2 hours after eating should be 6.4. The pHs that you have on your urine and saliva are an indicator of how much nutrient absorption you're getting from your food. If you go down to 5.4 on your pH, on your urine and saliva, you're extremely acidic. And if you're that low on your acidic, that's going to be 100 times less energy you'd have at 6.4 because it's a logarithmic scale. Now, it's that bad. So you don't digest food properly. You have constant problems with diarrhea. And so it massively increases the risk of cancer. He's right about that, by the way. But just because you balance the pH doesn't mean you're going to get rid of cancer. It doesn't work that way. You have to follow a really regimented protocol and work with your local oncologist and your local doctor who's health-oriented in order to be on a protocol that's going to help get rid of all of this stuff. Just changing your diet alone in the vast majority of cases isn't going to do it, which now he has found out. But here's the thing. Is it really worth putting this guy in jail? Is it really worth making him pay $105 million? I'm going to answer that question. You betcha. You betcha, because they want to discredit all natural protocols. And they want to make sure that if anybody else wants to come out and do this, they're going to bust them and let them know what could happen. Same thing happened to Kevin Trudeau. Now, Kevin Trudeau's a thief. He owes me money still. Okay, he's one of those people that I just tell people never to work with. He's in prison right now. And he basically said that, you know, the weight loss miracle they don't want you to know or something like that. And they ended up fining him $20, $30, $40 million. He didn't pay it. They got a court order against him, picked him up, threw him in jail, 10 years in prison. Now, is he a liar and a thief? Yeah, he is, actually. Kevin Trudeau is a liar and a thief. He has lied to me personally. He has stolen from me personally. So I can say that. I'm not bad-mouthing the guy. I'm just telling you what he did to me. But does he deserve to go to prison for 10 years because he wrote a book on losing weight? No, not 10 years in prison, $30-40 million. But again, some of the information he put out was really accurate, and they got to do everything they can when people start putting out accurate information. Shut them up. Make them go away. You know, these people are not going to be allowed to go out there in today's world if they're making a difference. Kevin Trudeau sold millions and millions and millions of books, and that they had to shut him down, and they did. And I could tell you stories about him, but I'm not going to do it. I've already said enough about him. But, guys, it's one of those things is that I will say this. Kevin Trudeau, when you meet him in person, is one of the most likable people you've ever met. He's extremely sincere in person, and he's extremely nice, you know. And when he comes across that way on TV, so he's got a really good TV persona, and people believe him. And hence, he sold so much stuff. And a lot of the stuff he said, especially in his nutrition books, where he got a lot of his material from me. There I said it. You know, I'm not saying he plagiarized me. He's got a lot of material from me and from my books and other really good sources is accurate. But again, they got to shut him down, Austin, and make people think, well, this person should never be allowed to associate with the general population again. This guy's already been in jail. I'm glad that he's not going to go to jail like Kevin Trudeau is. He's probably going to be filing Chapter 7 bankruptcy pretty doggone quick, considering the size of this amount. Guys, I love you. Pray for my throat, please. I appreciate you so much. I had an opportunity to pray for you guys again this morning. You guys are awesome. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for supporting our guests that were on last week. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I will let you close the show. Love you guys. Bye.
Absolutely. Yes, guys, also, too, in other news, I saw this today, something just to be aware of, because who knows what it's going to lead into. Apparently now the United States has imposed its final sanctions against Iran today that restrict oil, banking, and shipping. Meanwhile, Iran began a two-day military drill at its northern territory. They went on the same. The latest round of sanctions freezes U.S. assets belonging to any entity who continue importing Iranian oil without a waiver. The sanctions have targeted more than 700 entities connected to Iran, including individuals and even aircraft and vessels. The sanctions are expected to cripple Iran's economy. So that's just interesting, as we see now that's usually the way the United States works before a full-blown invasion, is they try to sanction them as much as physically possible. Also, too, Trump said that he is now looking aggressively into antitrust violations with Amazon, Facebook, and Google, actually the Google parent Alphabet, which actually owns Google. Interview aired on Sunday. Trump said he's not looking to hurt the U.S. tech giants, but is strongly considering action. He goes, we're looking at antitrust very seriously. Trump said others have also considered actions against tech companies, but previous administrations stopped. He said they were talking about this years ago. You know they were actually talking about the same subject, monopoly. The president has repeatedly attacked Amazon for deliveries by the U.S. Postal Service for Amazon were costing the service money, which I talked to you guys about that before, with so much they do with China and the subsidized Chinese postage that comes over here. If you guys ever bought some on eBay before, we talked about that last week. Trump allegedly rolled that out now, kind of threw everything out with that whole treaty we had with the Postal Service, but allows them to ship stuff from China. Literally, I mean, I've got stuff accidentally. I've ordered it. I didn't know it was coming from China. It shows up like 3 weeks later. You know, it'll be like a $2 part for something that's normally $20 here in the United States. You're like, oh, $2. I'll wait a couple weeks. Shows up, and you see the postage on it. It's like 59 cents for a, you know, small parcel package. You can't even barely send an envelope in the United States to Georgia for 59 cents. It's, you know, a 50-cent stamp just to send it there. And if it goes overweight, it jumps up to almost a dollar. But these guys are sending this pound package from China for 59 cents. That's just something that they continue to do, and that's what Trump has referred to a lot of times with the stuff that Amazon has done. So, guys, thank you for the support. Thank you for everything. I love getting all the emails this week, and I've been going back through all of them, trying to read through everything and respond to everything as best as physically possible. Be sure to check out the product of the week, the Cortisol Buster, which is on sale right now for 10% off. And also, to vote for whatever product you want to see win. Looks like the HGH Stimulate is pulling by a landslide, which it usually does. Definitely one of our most popular products. So I'm actually, now that I'm back in town today, I'm going to go look at our inventory and see what we're at in the back. So if this HGH Stimulate wins, which I think it will, probably going to do a pretty big sale for you guys on Wednesday, as I know a lot of people really use this product for working out, including myself. A lot of people use it for blood pressure. A lot of people use it for energy. It's got so many good functions to it. Incredible product. So be sure, if you need anything, check out the website at healthmasters.com. We love you guys. We appreciate you. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.